Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
Salvation in your life. There's a call of God on your life. Everybody has a purpose. I tell our students here at Word of God Academy, you are a purpose with a name. Tell your neighbor that. You are a purpose with a name. Everybody has a purpose. There is nobody under the sound of my voice right now that's without a purpose. And nothing is more fulfilling than knowing you have done your purpose. That brings about a self-fulfillment I feel like we all need. We need this self-fulfillment that I'm living out my purpose. It doesn't mean you've completed the job. It doesn't mean you finished the job. Think about God on creation day. On day one, God created. He created on day 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 and rested on the seventh day. But at the end of every day, even though everything was not complete, he still said, "It is good," and it was good. It can be good and not be finished. So quit being so hard on yourself and discounting yourself and discounting the purpose of God in your life. It might not be finished, but it can still be good. It might not look like what it's going to look like, but it can still be good. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? There is something that is self-fulfilling about purpose. Knowing that I'm doing what God called me to do. I feel like if we sleep at night, it ought to be because I'm tired after living this day and fulfilling my purpose. Purpose ought to be what gets you up in the morning, not an alarm clock, not a time clock. I'm waking up today because I've got a purpose. There's a call on my life. There's an assignment on my life. I have a purpose. There is nothing more fulfilling than purpose. And if we don't find that purpose and live out our purpose, we're going to live constantly needing the affirmation of others to build us up, because inwardly we feel depleted and we feel insecure because we're not living out our purpose. It's okay to look at yourself doing what God called you to do and say, "Okay, that was good. All right, two of y'all." Who have saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works. And you'll see this with Esther. Only the grace of God could have taken her to where she went. Only the grace of God could have put her in that seat. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Notice here verse 9 couples the word purpose and grace together with the word and. Purpose is always connected to grace. Purpose and grace. Say it out loud. Purpose and grace. Why? Because you cannot live out your purpose without grace. You can't even find your purpose without grace. What is grace? Grace is that gifting. Grace is the gifting of God. It's defined as the unmerited favor of God. It's a gift that God has given us to fulfill a purpose. And my gifts should match my purpose. There are unique attributes that you have in your life that connect you with your purpose. And God will never give you a purpose that your natural abilities don't allow you to fulfill. If you are trying to be something you are not, you will never be satisfied and never be content. And you'll seek the world's affirmation. Why? Because you have no inward affirmation. Why? Because you are outside of your purpose. I say this in love and I say this in truth. As long as you try to be something you will never be, you will need everybody else's endorsement, because you will never have an internal endorsement when you're trying to be what you cannot be. I cannot be a bird. I cannot be a turtle. I cannot be a lizard. I, a man, cannot be a woman. As long as I try to be what I cannot be, I'm going to need you to affirm me, because there'll never be an inward affirmation when I'm trying to be what I cannot be. Now, somebody will call that hate speech. No, this is love speech. I love you enough to tell you the truth. When we live out our purpose, there's this fulfillment that takes place inside of us. Do I want an affirmation? Do I want encouragement from other people? Absolutely. But purpose gives me this inward fulfillment that I feel like our society is missing right now. All right. Everybody still here? Watch this. He saved us. He called us according to his own, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Purpose and grace, purpose and grace. God's purpose in my life is connected to the gifting and the abilities that he has placed within me. They work together. Purpose is revealed by design. But there are some things that God wants to do in my life that are related to his purpose that only grace can explain. Only grace can explain. It was not my good works. It was not my resume. It wasn't because of the neighborhood I was born in. It wasn't because of the degree hanging on my wall. No, there are things that God will do in your life that only grace can explain. And when you look in the life of Esther, only grace can explain how an orphan girl who was a Jew went all the way to the top in a Persian kingdom, but God, the grace of God. Hallelujah. Y'all want to go look at it? All right, if you would turn with me to the book of Esther. Turn with me to the book of Esther. And we'll look at it starting in the second chapter. It's page number 657 in my Bible. His own purpose. God has a purpose for my life. God has a purpose for your life. God does not make mistakes. If you exist, that means purpose exists. You might not see it all. You might not understand it all. But purpose exists. Esther might not have understood it all until that fourth chapter when she found out that Haman had done influence the king to have a Holocaust, to kill off all Jews. And she, the queen, was the only one that might have gained favor with the king to stop the decree to kill off an entire nation of people simply because they were Jew. However, when Queen Vashti was banned because she wouldn't show up when the king summons her, it was true both ways. No one could come before the king without being called for. If you came into the king's chamber without being called for, without being summoned, you were executed. There was an honor in this Persian kingdom that required you be summoned before you come before the king. And just as sure as that first queen was banished because she wouldn't come when she was called, had Esther stepped into the king's chamber at any time without him calling for her, she could have been executed. But a word had gone out to kill off all Jews. And Esther knew that there's only one way this thing can stop. I'm going to see the king. I'm going to see the king. And it was Esther that would stand before the king. We're going to look at it here in a moment. But my point is that her life had reached this pivotal place where her breaking point caused her purpose to surface. Think about something in your life that's become a breaking point that's caused your purpose to surface. Anointing doesn't just happen. Breakthrough doesn't just happen. Many times breakthrough is the result of a breaking point. And the very anointing of the Spirit of God comes with a crushing and a weight. So many times we go through a trial and adversity, and it is in that trial and it is in that adversity that our real purpose begins to surface. That's why 1 Peter chapter 5 says, "Beloved, don't think it strange regarding the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you." But the word tells us the weight of that trial will cause the greater thing within us to begin to surface. It's the same message that's given in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 when Paul said, "I won't glory in my physical strength, but I'll glory in Christ in me." And he began to compare the trials that we go through in life to that of an oyster in the book of 2 Corinthians when he says, "We have this treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels." That word treasure in earthen vessels is taken from the Greek word ostracon. It's the same word that we get the English word oyster. He's literally saying that when I'm going through a trial, my life can be compared to that of an oyster. What happens with an oyster? When an oyster gets sand or debris inside of its shell, this double membrane species lets out an ointment when it gets irritated. An anointing begins to come out of its body because it's irritated. And that ointment gets a hold of that debris and covers it and continues to cover it until a pearl is formed. If you didn't have a problem, you'd never have a pearl. And God is saying in our life that when we are agitated and we are irritated and when we are going through trials, that's when the greater thing within us begins to come out. That's when His excellency begins to show up. That's when His anointing begins to be released. You cannot go through a trial and not eventually see glory. So if you're going through a trial right now, don't give up. Don't cave in. Don't quit. There's something bigger and better on the other side of that thing. Many times our breaking point causes our purpose to surface. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to you? Watch this in Esther chapter 2. I want to show you Esther's origin. And we'll look at it in verse number 7. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther. They had to give her a new name because she was a Jew. It was a way she could live under radar, if you would, and not be killed for being a Jew. His uncle's daughter. For she had neither father nor mother. She had neither father nor mother. And the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for her his own daughter. She's being raised by her cousin. Looks like the odds are against her because she's an orphan. But let me remind you that Psalm 68, verse 5 says that God is the father of the fatherless. Oh, hallelujah. He is the father of the fatherless. David said, when my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will lift me up. Oh, hallelujah. And that is true right now in this little orphan girl's life because God's got his hand on her and he's going to raise her up. It was a tragic event that happened in the previous chapter when Queen Vashti said, I'm not going to see this king. I'm not going to present myself before the people. And the Bible says she was beautiful to look upon. But on this particular day, she said, I'm not going. And so she was banished. Who would have ever thought that that horrific day for her would lead to Esther sitting in that seat as queen and God using that seat to turn something that would have been evil for good? It kind of reminds me of Joseph, who, Lord willing, we'll talk about next week. Who Joseph and all that he had gone through, at the end of it all, in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, he said, my enemy meant it for bad, but God turned it for good. And in this case, what the enemy meant for bad, God is getting ready to redirect this thing, and he's going to turn it for good in Esther's life. And he's able to do that. In chapter 2, we continue in verse number 12. Now, when every maid's turn was come to go into King, boy, he got a tough name. Ahasuerus. I had to practice that name all morning. Man, we couldn't have a simple name. And after that, she had been 12 months. Look at this verse, especially ladies. 12 months, according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors. Man, they had to be soft and smelling good. A 12-month spa. Can you imagine? 12 months. And with other things for the purifying of the women. 12 months spa before they made their presentation before the king. And so now she's going to see the king. And notice what happens. The chamberlain, which was one of the king's ministers, had favor. He showed favor on Esther. He's the minister of the king, and he's preparing all the women. And he owns the spa, if you will, and he's coordinating everything. But he began to show Esther favor. And notice verse 15, and when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, watch this, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. Let me explain that. When the women were to make their presentation to the king, they got to go into the queen's closet, if you will. Pick out any dress, pick out any wardrobe, pick out any jewelry, any earring, any necklace, any ring. Pick out the wealth of this kingdom and put it on. I believe I receive. Always wanted me a ring like that. I mean, she could have went wild in that room picking up all the jewels and all the clothing to array herself. But Esther had the conviction, how can I impress the king with what's already his? I'm going to take him what he doesn't have, and that's me. Hey! And obviously, her conviction to not put on all this garb and stuff that was provided by this Persian kingdom, obviously her conviction to go in with all that was appointed her moved not only her minister and all the other men and women that were there, but it moved the king. The king was like, hey, wait a minute. And when I read that, this is the verse I thought about. It's 1 Peter 3:4, which Bible says the most attractive thing in our lives, and it's speaking of women, is the hidden man of the heart. And this is what 1 Peter 3:4 says, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, a great price. She went in there in the spirit of meekness, and the king had not seen no young woman like this. She didn't go in there with all that Persian wealth. When I read that, I thought about David. Because you may remember David, before he's king, is on an assignment to take his brothers some bread who were fighting the Philistines. But when David got out there, nobody was fighting. And David said, is there not a cause? How come you're not fighting? I came to bring you nourishment, but you're not even using any energy. And his brothers mocked him and said, where are your sheep? Get on back to the house. What are you here for, to see some sport? And David said, no, there's a cause. What does the man get that fights this giant? And they said, well, you get the king's daughter. He said, is she pretty? They said, yeah, fine as wine. He said, okay then. You get tax-free living and a bounty from the king. David said, let me at him. Saul said, okay, if you want to go fight this giant, you're going to need my armor. And they put that armor on Saul, the king's armor on David, Saul's armor on David. And David put it on. He said, this ain't me. This don't even fit me. And if this really worked, why didn't you wear it? David said, I'm going to face Goliath with what God has already given me. And what he has given me is his name. I used it when I faced the bear. I used it when I faced the lion. I know it works. So he took that off and he said, I'll go with what works. And I see Esther like that right here. There have been plenty of women that went before the king wearing all that stuff. It didn't impress the king. How can you impress the king with what already belongs to him? I will go with what's been appointed unto me. And she walked in there in the spirit of humility and meekness. And the Bible says when we humble ourselves before the Lord, that's when he exalts us. Hallelujah. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. She didn't go in there with all that, and yet she was the one that was chosen. That's a word. Go with what he gave you. Tell your neighbor that. Go with what he gave you. Quit going after what's not yours. Quit thinking if you had something else added to your life, you might gain favor, you might gain blessing. All you need is what God has given you. Be faithful over little, he'll make you ruler over much. Don't ever get caught up in the anxiety that if I had more, I could do more. No, go with what you have. And that's what Esther did when she went before the king. That's powerful. The king said, I ain't never seen no woman like this. She gained everybody's favor. She gained the king's favor. Verse 17 says, and the king loved Esther above all the women. And she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set a royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. And the king made a great feast unto all his princes and servants, even Esther's feast. And he made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. Everybody got blessed because this woman came into power. The Bible says that when the righteous are in power, the people rejoice. Now don't forget who her cousin is, Mordecai. He's raised her. He's watched this orphan girl go all the way to being queen. Come with me to chapter 4. But we're not at a breaking point yet. We're not at a breaking point. As a matter of fact, it almost looks like a breakthrough. Now, I need you to put yourself in Esther's position for a moment. You are an orphan. You're a Jew. You're in exile under a Persian king. The king's, there's a man in the king's ear that is plotting to kill off all the Jews and about to have his whole plan come to fruition. He gets an order from the king to kill off all Jews. She's a Jew. She's done went from the bottom to the top. She has arrived, you might say. She could have easily gotten content and say, I can't mess up this gig. I'm the queen of the king in the most powerful kingdom on the planet. I went from nothing to everything. She could have said, I'm leaving this alone. I'm not going to mess none of this up right here. But she would not allow herself to become complacent. God is going to put her at a breaking point. And the breaking point is when Mordecai comes and lets her know that there's been a decree made to kill off all the Jews. And who could stop the king? Who could stop the king from this order that had gone out to kill all the Jews? If there's anybody that might gain favor, it's Queen Esther. However, there is an order. You cannot walk before the king unless he summons you. Unless he summons you, you can't go see him. So if she goes before the king without being summoned, she could be killed. She's at a breaking point. Think about the breaking points we come to in life when we will not violate our conviction. I feel like our society is missing that today. Watch this in chapter 4 of Esther. If you're there, say amen. Watch this, because now she's at a breaking point. The enemy has a plot. The plot looks like it's succeeding. And so Mordecai gives Esther this word. We'll start in verse 11. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. In other words, don't think that you're going to be treated any different just because you're queen. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then there shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. I can see Mordecai just being torn. He's raised this girl. She's now queen. He's saying, listen, if you don't do something about it, maybe God will bring up somebody else to do something about it. But if you go in there and the law is carried out, you'll be executed. But who knows, verse 14, latter part, who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? So Mordecai's saying, maybe this is what got you here. Maybe God's plan is what got you here, that all this has been orchestrated by God to give you favor with the king so you can save the Jewish people. But this woman right now has got to be brave. This young woman has gone from nothing to everything. She could risk it all if she steps out right now and goes to see that king. On one hand, she's queen. On one hand, she's gained favor. On one hand, the king has said, I will give you half my kingdom. I ain't never loved a woman like I love you. Come on now. She's got love. She's got wealth. She's got power. She's got servants. She's got ministers. She is the queen in the land, and she's about to throw it all on the line if she steps into that court and challenges his decree to kill off all the Jews. Everybody say breaking point. But watch what happens in verse 15. She says, go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and will I go in unto the king. I love this woman's faith. She said, I'm not just going to go see the king. I'm going to pray and then go see the king. The Bible says that God will look at what we do privately, and he will reward us publicly. You have to know that public praise begins with private prayer, and she consecrated herself knowing that God, the only way I can go before him and live is I got to go before him, not with me. I got to go in there with you. And so she goes into 3 days of prayer and fasting before she went before to see the king. She said, y'all pray with me 3 days and three nights. Verse 16, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law? Read it out loud. And if I perish, I perish. That's a breaking point. It's death at this point. If I die, then I die. I'd rather die with conviction than live complacent. If I die, I die. I've got to live for my purpose or die complacent. And she chose her purpose. She said, I'm going to see the king. If I die, I die. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And so it was when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained, here we go, favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter, which would communicate to his armed men, leave her alone, let her in. She's received my favor. And that's a portrait of what God did to us through Jesus Christ, that I have favor and that now I can come before my Father when I have need and access his presence, hallelujah, through Jesus Christ. He pointed that golden scepter, which was to say, come near. Verse 2, so Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be given thee to the half of the kingdom. What do you want, girl? And Esther, it took that opportunity to expose the plot of Haman. She began to tell the truth and how Mordecai had been faithful. And when, what would the king do? He ordered the man that had plotted to be executed. And he took her cousin Mordecai and promoted him to the second highest ranked man in the land. God had done perfected the thing that had concerned her. She went from the bottom to the top, and she didn't let being at the top alter her convictions. She didn't forget where she came from. She didn't forget that there was an ultimate God that she answered to that was greater than the king. The Bible says the heart of the king is in the hand of God, and he can turn it. And Esther believed God to turn the king's heart. And you and I got to believe God to turn some folks' heart. Seek God. Consecrate yourself unto him. Live for his purpose, and don't be afraid of man. Can somebody say amen? Her breaking point caused her purpose to surface. I want to spend our last few minutes together, and I want you to think about what breaking points in your life have caused your purpose to surface. That might be God's way of nudging you into your purpose. Nothing's going to fulfill us except purpose. Nothing's going to matter at the end of it all but purpose. But when you start seeing purpose manifest, like Esther did here, she could never have written a script as good as it ended for her. It reminds me of Ephesians 3:20, where the Bible says that God will do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And that's exactly what God had done in Esther's life. But she was a woman of conviction, and she never changed her convictions. Breaking point. If you feel like you're in a breaking point right now, why not ask the Lord in this moment, Lord, what needs to give? What needs to go? What's not worth it? What have you given me? And one thing I love about Esther, and we're going to have to do a series on Esther because there's a lot of things that's been overlooked that I didn't have time to get to today. But one thing I love about Esther is that that minister of the king that was sent to serve her, she did what that minister said. Why? He knew the king. When he appointed unto her what to wear, she'd already gained his favor. He knew what would work for the king. Why argue with the one that knows the king? And I feel like that's what we do to the Holy Spirit. We argue with the Holy Spirit, but yet he knows the king. He's trying to lead me into a place of blessing and life and favor. And when I ignore the Holy Spirit and do it my way, I'm missing out on the favor that God has given me by the voice of his spirit and by the voice of his word. He's trying to order my steps into a place where I can walk in his best and blessing. But so many times we ignore his voice and do stuff our way. She chose humility and was exalted for it. But all of it was for that pivotal moment. And church, we're going to be met with those moments. You have your moments. I've had mine. They shape our destiny. They point to our purpose.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McMenis. Have a blessed week.